The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we got a lot, like we normally tell you, we have a lot to talk about. We do. And so with that, the man who has the dials, and he's with a smile, none other than the mighty, mighty, what's his name again? Andrew.
That's right, I'm here.
Okay, and way out yonder, I'm not going to mention anything about dusty trails or back roads or preaching parson, but we have Parson Joe Larson.
Yes, the one that's redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, his child and forever, I am. Glad
all
to
right.
Be with you.
Very good. That's better than being called an old fogey, right?
It sure is. Hey, I've got a request from a lot of people. After the news today, quite a few of my friends and people wanted prayers for the people over there in Ukraine with the horrific pictures that have been out of the children, people tied up dead in the streets and the graves and all the things that are going on, that we would just do a prayer tonight.
Well, there's a lot of horrible things happening, but let me tell you this. There's a lot of things that aren't the way they seem that are being staged. And, in fact, we've got a clip, and I'll probably play that maybe Wednesday night, where they've caught where the mayor of that one town who, in fact, I've got an article here where he said the Russians came, and I believe it was on like the 29th, they left, and everything, and he was good. They came, they left, and, you know, everything's not in good shape, but nothing big, nobody was killed. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, dead bodies turn up all over the streets, and some of these dead bodies were headless, so on and so forth. There's something going on, and we'll play a little clip on that.
Well, one thing I know for sure, we don't know what's going on for sure, but God does. And the one thing I do know is there are people over there suffering from bombing. You and I have seen war and bombs going off and people dying, and it is hell on earth. And
we definitely need to pray for him, for sure.
Pray for the innocent. There's a lot of guilty people on both sides, but there's a lot of innocent people in the middle that we just have. All we can do is, I guess, I'll start, and if you want to join me after.
Okay. Anyhow, what you want to do it right now?
Yeah, I'd like to start the show with that.
Go ahead.
Dear Heavenly Father, you warned us in your word that there would be wars and plagues and famines, and there would be some bad times on this earth. And as we watch and we see cities being bombed, we see people dying, we see these horrific pictures of war, and some of us just know how horrible that is, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the screams. Lord, I'm not sure what to ask for, so I would ask that, Lord, that that thy will would be done, that the slaughter of the innocents would be stopped, that somehow there could be an end to this crisis. I'm not sure, you know, what side is, if any side is good, but we would just ask that you would have mercy on the innocent, Lord, that you would take those that are your children home, especially the children that are killed, that they would come home and be with you and find peace and safety. And, Lord, just our hearts go out to the innocent, to the victims, and that just ask you to bless as you may. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I'd like to pray, too. I want to pray for here, Father God, with what's happening in this country. And, Lord, these oligarchs, those, Father God, who are profiting, Lord, by supplying both sides in these wars. They sell to both sides to make money, and while people are dying, they could care less. They, as Klaus Schwab said, these are useless people, useless eaters, all they are, okay? So, Father God, I would pray, Lord, that you would come against all these so-called oligarchs, these wicked, evil men, and rich people, Father God, and Lord, too. One of the most horrendous things I've ever seen is what's happening here in America, funded by an evil, wicked, wicked government, an evil, wicked, corrupt government we have in this country. Lord God, where they're taking babies and even paying wicked, evil women to carry a child to term, deliver a full-term baby, and then take the baby when it grows a little bit, and they can do it now up to 28 days, or they want to do it up to 28 days in some places after the birth, and then remove its organs while the baby's alive, not giving it anything for pain because that would pollute the organs. They have to be fresh, so... And then take, and these are evil people, wicked. I mean, ungodly, wicked is a beast. They're animals. And this so-called judge that who wants to be on a Supreme Court, Chanzi or whatever, Japan, whatever her name is, Katanji, she's wicked to the core. She's wicked to the core. And Father God, and anyone and everyone that would, as your word says, that would vote for her has sinned against you, God, sinned against us. Only a very wicked and an evil people would vote to put that woman on the Supreme Court. So again, Lord, I would pray, Father God, Lord, that they want death. Lord, they want death so bad, Father God. Either bring them to repentance or give it to them. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Joe, I'm so tired of seeing innocent people hurt by these wicked, wicked, evil people. Anyhow, we got a lot to do tonight, and so the title of the message was, I Am Angry, and Here's the Reason Why. And we're going to start tonight.
Could we add to that, that's God is angry, but we could add to that, we are angry too, right?
Yeah. Well, we're going to go through that's part of what, as we get through here, we're going to see why I'm angry. It's because God is angry, and we're angry at the very same things. So I want you to start in Joshua 7. Read verses 1 through 5 and then stop.
All right. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim. and smote them into going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as winter water.
Alrighty. Do you know what the accursed thing is?
Yes, it was some things that were taken when they taken the city of Jericho, and Achan stole silver and garments and a wedge of gold weighing about 50 shekels and hid them in the floor under his tent, in the ground under his tent.
Okay.
And that was the wicked thing.
Okay, so go back to chapter 6 and read verse 17.
Chapter 6, okay, and 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent.
Okay, now read verse 18.
And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it.
But the silver and the gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the accursed thing, Joe, was everything in there, okay? And
in the city, yeah.
Right, but except what the silver and the gold, the vessels that would be taken and put in the Lord's treasury.
Right.
So they were to destroy everything. And so here
it was chickens, goats, horses, mule, whatever, donkeys, people, men, women, children, the whole city.
Okay, so here. So now what happened, Joshua sent some men in to spy, and he said, what do we need? And they said, look, don't worry, don't trouble and labor all of the people, because we can take care of them with 2,000 or 3,000 men. There's not that many of them there. And so Joshua said, go ahead. What was Joshua's mistake there? He made a major blunder.
I don't know.
His blunder was he didn't consult with the Lord. He didn't go to the Lord and ask the Lord, okay, how do I do this? How do I handle this, God? He didn't. He decided to do this on his own. And so he found out in a hurry that he should have gone to the Lord. And now what happens...
He was maybe just waiting for the Lord, like with Jericho, to tell him what to do, and if the Lord didn't say anything, then it was up to him?
No, he was supposed to go to the Lord first before you
okay.
and pray about it. When he sent the men there to go spy, he should have been praying to the Lord and asking him, okay, tell me, Lord, how I should handle this. And the Lord would have probably told him long before the men got back. But what happened here... When they lost, it really put the fear into him, because Joshua knew that the Lord had threatened, if your disobedience, then I will depart from you. Now, here, what happens today if God did not protect the nation of Israel today? What would happen to the nation of Israel?
It would be already destroyed.
It's surrounded, right, you know.
What, 17, 19 countries that hate it?
Yeah, so, you know, it's surrounded by a billion people that want to take it out.
Yeah.
And so you've got, in Israel, 5 million Jews, and a total about 17 million. Most of them live, you know, more Jews live here in America than they do in Israel, okay? And so here, without God's protection, and believe me, you know, people think it's all America. No, God has protected Israel. Not that Israel deserves any protection. Israel is a very, very, very sinful country, okay? Very stiff-necked. And yet, of course, we've seen that throughout history, huh? And so here... if God had, Joshua thought God has departed from us. We're toast. We're history. And so, now pick it up in verse 6 and read all the way through verse 10.
And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto, what wilt thou do unto thy great name?
All right, here. So you mentioned that word, environ. That's an archaic word. That means, in the Hebrew, that word means to surround. And so here he says to surround us around, surround all around you. Okay. Now, this is what he should have done first before he should have prayed to the Lord before he went out to war. Okay. Now here, when we take a look at this, and we look at the accursed thing that they had up to this point right now, because of what Achan did, you had many men had already been killed. Israel was paralyzed with fear. The leaders, even Joshua, faltered. Okay. And he was confused. Joshua wasn't sure. What happened? Did God leave us here? Okay. And God said that he might withdraw his presence if something didn't take place. Okay. So, and that what he's talking about, go ahead and pick it up in verse 10 and read all the way down through verse 15.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel.
All right, so here now, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou in his face? Something like, get thee up, why are you lying down in your face there? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, and I commanded them, for they have even taken up the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled. Do you know what that word disassembled means?
Kind of separated and hidden.
Well, it means deception and lied. They've used deception and lies also, and they have even put even among their own stuff. Okay, so he's telling them they have stolen some things here. And now you, Joshua, do you think God knew who it was that done it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he had that figured out. But now Joshua was going to be tested. So why do you think he made it out this way, okay? Had Achan and his family gotten away with it, what kind of message would that have sent to the rest of Israel?
That they could get away, that God, there would be no punishment, no judgment, that they could also defy the Lord, and do what they wish.
You're right. And so what do they do? He sends them house to house. Actually tent to tent, or family to family there. And he wanted to do this. So everyone would see the consequences, okay, of sinning against God. And so he sends them house to house, and then they come. I'll go ahead and pick it up in verse 16 now.
I was just thinking, sure. Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. This comes to mind.
Yep.
So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhite man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Kami, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I...
Coveted.
I couldn't get the page. Coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and silver and the silver under it.
Now think about this for a minute. This guy Achan, did he really think that God wasn't watching? I mean, you know, here, you know, God is talking directly. I mean, he had just spoken. and now he's, you know, and yet, worse is happening today in this country. People are, you know, disrespecting God even in a much worse way today, okay?
Oh, yes, sir. Like you said, they're killing children, they're selling baby parts, they're selling young children into sexual slavery, they're taking advantage of the old and the sick and the weak and robbing the poor, and they're also not, you know, doing anything to support the Lord or his church or his work, so it gets worse. It's kind of hard to imagine, but I think we've gotten worse than a lot of the children of Israel.
All right, so today in America, our cursed things, American national sin, abortion, the LGBTQ, the Bible says it's an unclean thing. Do not touch the unclean thing. LGBTQ is an unclean thing. CRT.
He calls that kind of thing abomination.
Critical race theory. Disneyland pedophilia. Mainstream media. You talk about disassembled. Boy, there's nothing. You can't be a bigger liar than what is called mainstream media today.
Nope.
Burn, loot, and murder. The entire Deathocratic Communist Collective. The transgender, feminism, dirty cops, dirty judges, dirty politicians, the world, the National Council of Churches, and today you've got witchcraft is on the rise, and under witchcraft, what they brought, in under this witchcraft now, we were just watching some teachings of this, but they're forming these groups, and I can't think of the name of the group, but out of this group, they have what you call, they promote hot wives, open marriages, And, there's another thing called cuckolding. These are all of these things, along with the woke movement, all of these things, God's Word, the Bible, calls unclean. Now,
but I think today the people no longer believe, I think a lot of these people no longer believe there is a God. They mock the concept of God. And I think at least the children of Israel knew there was a God, but they kind of took him, that he was weaker, that he was didn't understand, that he didn't know, that, you know, they underestimated him. But the people today, I think, have just quit believing entirely.
Well, they're going to believe, you know.
They will.
That's what they did before the flood. Then all those people that were there before the flood are all believers today. Now, here, the worst out of all of those, worse than all the rest, the judgment will be greater, is the apostate church, the apostate preachers. Remember what Jesus said to those? If you had not been shown, if you had not seen what I've done, if you've not heard what I said, you'd have no sin. But since you've been heard what I've said, you've got no cloak for your sin.
Sin, right.
Your damnation. He used, remember the term?
Damnation. Will be greater.
That's a stronger term than condemnation. It will be greater. We'll be back. Oh, you know what? Hang on. We're going to play a clip, Joe. And what I was telling you, that things are not always the way they seem. And we're going to do a little history of the CIA and the Ukraine. Mighty Andrew, take her away. Mighty, are you there?
And one of the things the CIA did right after World War II was hire a lot of Nazis. Guys who'd been Nazis were now recycled and brought into the CIA. Nazi rocket scientist von Braun went to work for the United States developing intercontinental ballistic missiles. So the Nazi past was forgiven, and Nazis went to work for the United States, including a guy named Reinhard Gehlen, who'd been the Nazi military intelligence officer in charge of operations against the Soviets in Eastern Europe. And this guy, Gehlen, became the head of the CIA's main intelligence operator into East Berlin and areas like the Ukraine, where the Nazis had intelligence agents during World War II. And this guy, Reinhard Gehlen, on behalf of his new CIA masters, just activated all the agent nets that he had during World War II. The same thing was going on in Ukraine, although the Ukraine had very much large swaths of its population were fascists and were actively involved against the war against the Soviets, were enemies of the United States in World War II. After World War II, they became assets of the CIA. So the CIA has been developing fascist assets in the Ukraine for 70 years. And every year since 1948, when the CIA went into operation, and has had a station in the Ukraine with a CIA officer who's running operations. And those operations have all been directed against first the Soviet Union and after the collapse of the Soviet Union against Russia. There's a lot of momentum that has built up over 75 years. Vast agent nets have been put in place. Sleeper agents have been in place for decades, and they're all working against Russia, which is why nowadays it's so hard for the mainstream media and the government to shift and even consider for a moment having good relations with Russia. NATO, its whole mandate and its whole reason for its existence has been to threaten and roll back Russia and eventually sabotage and subvert it and put it out of business. And Ukraine, the CIA's operations in the Ukraine are the cutting edge vanguard of this effort. So if you look at recent events in Ukraine, you have to see them in that context. How? For decades, the CIA has been trying to recruit Ukrainian politicians, Ukrainian businessmen who are sympathetic and compatible with Western American ideas and values and interests of fighting against the Russians, and recruiting them and putting them in place and setting them up with bank accounts, giving them paramilitary training. Everything the CIA does across the board, Ukraine has been the vanguard of this operation against Russia. The details are in my book, The CIA's Organized Crime, how this works at the agent level, how the CIA would go around and work with, after the coup that threw out a pro-Russian government and installed a pro-American anti-Russian government, how the CIA already had security services and military people in place who were able to create private militias that would then work against individuals in the Ukraine who were pro-Russian, how they, you know, just like treating it like South Vietnam or any other country that the United States occupies. And that is the situation in the Ukraine. The United States occupies Ukraine. Its government isn't an occupation government that's supported and funded and directed by the United States. And the businessmen and the military people and the politicians that support the Americans benefit, and those who don't are put on hit lists and they're targeted. And that's basically the history and the summary of what's going on in the Ukraine. And the CIA, through its agent operations, which have been in place for 70 years, is at the vanguard of that operation.
So is the intent and purpose of the CIA and American involvement in Ukraine to topple Russia, to balkanize Russia?
Oh, absolutely. But also to steal Ukraine's, to take all the natural resources that are available there, the profits that can be had. I mean, it's capitalism. It's, you know, nationalism, American nationalists, who businessmen. I mean, as soon as the CIA arranged that coup and installed a pro-American government, Joe Biden's son became the head of one of the biggest oil companies, I think it was, in the Ukraine. You know, I mean, American businessmen just swooped down like vultures to take over all the, you know, any business that could, like mafia dons and mafia, you know, gangsters that they could steal everything from. And that's exactly what they're doing. And especially in eastern Ukraine, where a lot of the natural resource industries are based, that's why it's so contentious there. The CIA, through its assets in private industry, is trying to bring all those people who are considered compatible into the American fold. You don't see it at its dirty level, the level of blackmailing people, the level of extorting people, the level of the CIA using its underworld contacts to squeeze these people and to force them out of business and to make life miserable for them so that they give up their associations with Russians and Russian businessmen. But that's what's going on at the very basic level. I mean, militias are being formed to terrorize anybody who's supporting Russia and like in Donbass and places like that. So the details, again, which you would have to spend years studying to understand, I suggest you just read the books to see how the CIA has relationships with the security services in Ukraine. And as soon as the coup was launched, it took over control of those security services, and it started drawing up the hit lists of targeting people that it could go after. And the reason it's targeting the people it targets most highly are the people that are sitting on natural resources that American businessmen want. It's not going after, you know, plumbers and carpenters. It's going after major businessmen. And that's what the CIA does. It paves the way for American business interests by using illegal methods and by using illegal methods to install politicians in the Ukraine that will follow the American line. Things that, everything that you don't know about that is going on and that you're not told about by the media, which I should add is well aware of what's going on, but just doesn't tell you because it's good for their business too.
And we are back, and boy, I'm going to tell you, he was right on. He was exactly right on. And, Joe, American oligarchs, are these billionaires guilty of being involved in domestic terrorism and biological warfare? It's an article by S.D. Wells. And here, why isn't the world, or the word oligarch, used ever to describe American billionaires? Oligarch means a very rich business leader with a great deal of political influence, and they don't have to reside in Russia, China, or Iran to fit the bill. In fact, several American billionaires support the highly corrupt tyranny that currently runs Washington, D.C., because they control big pharma, big tech. So why aren't they called oligarchs? Two words are the easy answer to the question. Fake news. Fake news. These American oligarchs control the mass media and the entire narrative, and that circles out and down. Boy, is that exactly right.
Well, the media today is our enemy. They are the biggest enemy of America because they hide the truth, they promote the narrative, they promote all the lies, and sometimes I think the media is controlling a large part of the Democratic Party. It used to be, I thought, they were this supportive arm, but I think now some of the people behind the media have more control than a lot of the party insiders. So, to me, today, the enemy within, almost number one, is the media.
Yeah, well, here it says, yes, we are living under dictatorship right now in America, and it's not just President Biden and his cohorts, no, running the show. It's the autocracy, yeah, run by American oligarchs, including Jeff Bezos, worth $180 billion, Bill Gates, worth $125 billion, Mark Zuckerberg, worth $100 million, and a cabal of pharma executives. You know, Zuckerberg took a big, big hit there. They really took a big hit, Facebook. And here, and
well,
it goes.
It was Zuckerbucks that a lot of the people firmly believe that Zucker swung the election from Trump to Biden.
Well, he says he did.
Huge amounts of money.
He said he spent $370 million to swing. He said he had to swing 15 million votes.
I think did more than that. But yeah, so there, the proof is right there. Here's saying he's going to change these votes. He has the power. He spends the money, registers all Democrats. Everything his money does supports the Democrat Party. So really, right there, A, the election was stolen one way just by him and his money. And if you look at all the stuff that's gone on, the Trump, the narrative, Russia, 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 right? The Russia collusion story, they lied about Trump. The 1619 project that they've been pushing about how we, you know, our country wasn't really founded the way that it was supposed to, that Trump was a Russian agent, and on and on and on, that they went and lied to the FISA court, all this false information. The media was behind all of this. And one story I saw the other day caught my eye. There was an Asian American reporter got fired. And he got fired because he was out at a Proud Boys rally, and he was just, you know, recording it. Jonathan Cho is American and journalist, but he's Asian background. And he was at a rally in Washington State Capitol, the city of Olympia. He was called a neo-Nazi, a fascist, a white supremacist, all kinds of stuff. And wait a minute, what was his horrible crime? He was a videographer taking pictures of this peaceful rally. And that's the trouble. This Proud Boys rally was peaceful. There was no swearing, no violence, no bad signs, nothing. And the fact that it promoted this group looking peaceful, the left couldn't stand this. And so he got fired. Fired for being a journalist. Fired for telling the truth. So what does that tell you about the media?
Well, yeah, we knew that. And a cable of...
To a lot of people, might be the truth they need to see. He got fired for just reporting the facts, not, you know, he couldn't find anything to show that was bad.
Well, look. The narrative, remember, these people are... They're contracted, okay? They're contracted to tell the narrative. Whatever lie, they're told to tell. Whatever lie comes down from the top, and they do it in lockstep. You can turn the stations, and they'll use the exact same words over and over, all of them, okay? And, you know, they'll come right out and tell you, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, people will believe it.
Oh, believe it.
But what the latest thing that they'll actually tell you, if you say the, if we all say the same things, remember
right,
we did that
at the same time.
Yeah,
the people
will believe us. Yeah, and
if
so
we all say the
same thing at the same time. People will believe us.
It.
Yeah.
You know,
here,
what was this Jonathan, this reporter, Jonathan Cho? You know, the funny thing was the only bad thing in the whole video was some of the people on the sidelines. The opposition were giving the middle finger, heckling, calling names, and he filmed some of that, and that was his crime. He showed the opponents of the Proud Boys as the ones who were vile, contemptuous, and doing bad things.
Well, you know, when you're going back and look at these oligarchs, where you look at Jeff Bezos was supposed to be the richest man. Well, Elon Musk has passed him up now.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Elon Musk is not in there. They're going to be calling him. They're going to be calling him a racist. They're going to be calling him a Nazi. The fake news media.
They're going to be going after him. And why? He bought almost 10% of the stock of Twitter because he is for free speech.
That makes him the largest single owner of Twitter,
That's
as far as the stock. So, right, and he's for free speech.
That's scary for them. He talked about it. In fact, he put out a question. He said, you know, what should be done? What should I do? And he was talking about starting his own media group. The one that Trump started, apparently the Trump website is not doing well, and people couldn't get signed on, and it's having a lot of problems for whatever reason. I don't know. Problems from within, or I don't know if it's lack of money or just the tech people weren't good. But a lot of people are looking
Come on, you got to know, Joe. You know the opposition, they're parasitical. Just like they enter from within, and they're patient. They'll do whatever they have to get. It's like what they did to Trump before. Trump was surrounded. He was in a snake pit. He didn't know who he could trust. Everywhere he turned, he got betrayed, okay?
And it's still happening, right? Because his whole media attempt is failing, and I don't think it's his fault. I think he's been sabotaged, like he said.
Yeah, it's the deep state. He's working against look, the FBI, the CIA, all of them that have turned dirty. They've all gotten dirty, okay?
Remember all those 51 agents that lied about the Biden laptop? And they're all intelligence agents, so if they're willing to lie, what else are they willing to do, right?
Yeah, we read their names off on the air here.
And if you're a liar, then you've already said how moral you are. You've already showed your
Let me read this part here. American oligarchs, biological warfare, and domestic terrorism. Bill Gates is on video at a TED conference saying, we had this video, I think we played the audio of it. We can reduce the world's population by a few billion people if we do a really great job with vaccines and healthcare, meaning vaccines that sterilize and kill people, and lots of abortions to halt reproduction of the rest. That was a few years before the not-so-novel gain-of-a-function COVID broke off and was released. And like I was telling you, I used to sit in their meetings, and they would – speak openly about how to murder people, kill people.
Right.
How many people around the world?
Wars and plagues. I mean, there wasn't anything that they didn't think was good if it killed enough people.
Well, there's one good thing that's happening. A judge blocks COVID-19 vaccine mandate for entire Navy. For the entire Navy now. So the U.S. military COVID-19 vaccine mandate has been blocked for all Navy members seeking religious exemptions. A preliminary injunction that previously covered 35 Navy SEALs now covers over 4,000 others who had their religious exemptions. U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor, a George Bush appointee who entered the original ruling in January, agreed to expand it in part because all the members who have applied for religious exemptions have all been harmed in essentially the same way. ESUP, boy, you know, I hope they sue the Navy. Each subject is the Navy COVID-19 vaccine mandates. Each has submitted their religious accommodations request, and none has received accommodation without relief. Each serviceman faces the threat of discharge and consequences that accompany it, even though their personal circumstances may factually differ in small ways. The threat is the same: get the job or lose your job. And so here, the Supreme Court recently sided with the Pentagon in a case ruling the Navy commanders can consider a member's vaccination status when deciding on deployment. And so the new rulers means anyone in the U.S. Navy whose religious accommodations from the vaccine mandate was denied is now protected from any sort of punishment or involuntary separation, things like that, said Mike Perry, a lawyer with the First Liberty Institute, which represents the plaintiffs. So that's good.
That's good, but at the same time, on the back page, the Department of Homeland Security, and this is as of 4 April, and this comes from the Daily Signal, Homeland Security is the 20th federal agency to have created or proposed tracking lists for employees requesting religious accommodations from the COVID vaccine mandate. And it goes on how they're collecting information on all these people. And following that, that's a long story, but basically that's what they're doing. All these different federal agencies are tracking, recording, keeping information on American citizens that have a religious exemption. Here's the big headline. The Pentagon is investigating extremism in the military. And now they have looking for extremists, and they're checking people's Twitter accounts and email and all kinds of things. And these people that are asking for a religious exemption, I will bet 10 to 1 they come up on one of the extremist lists.
Milley and Austin, their job is to completely disarm and destroy our military. And that's what they're doing.
The army we've had in what now, 50 years, I think?
Right. They're doing everything. Abomination, the man of great, great sin, this Antichrist, he is an Antichrist. Abomination, the dark prince, he put these people in there, and they were put there to destroy our military. Absolutely destroy.
You and I were talking about how they put them into the FBI, they put them into Treasury, the Department of Education, they put them in the State Department, the IRS. They were putting their political hacks and underlings in almost every department that they could find in government, creating the deep state. So the military wouldn't have been exempt from that total transformation, would it?
No. But what we have to do is we have to take our country back. And I know that the people out there, this is why people no longer, they don't trust the government. Even a lot of the Democrats no longer trust the government. But and it's, it's kind of a strange thing, because many of those right now in the Democratic Party, even they are against what Joe Obama is trying to do when he's trying to completely open our southern border and say come in by the literally the millions, bringing drug traffickers, human traffickers, and the Biden crime cartel, Joe, has been working hand in hand with the Mexican drug cartels and the human traffickers. They've been making sure that our people, our security, our border guards have to stand down and let these people in. Now they want to just open it completely, and the word is going out. Biden says, everybody, no matter, I come here. I don't care what you are, if you're drug dealers, you're human smugglers, whatever you are, come here, just vote Democrat. And in other words, the entire Democratic Communist Collective has become totally corrupt. Totally, completely corrupted. There's nothing, Joe, about it. The entire Congress has become corrupt.
What they've done, they've realized the culture war is turning on them. People are waking up, and they finally realized the only thing they had left that they could do is have more Democrats than Republicans, and that's why they're bringing all these people in. In fact, if you look at it, I saw something. The border people are saying there's 2,000 plus getaways. These are not just the ones that are turned in. These are getaways per day. That's 2,000 plus. That's over 60,000 getaways a month, just the ones that sneak by. And they go, the getaways are the ones that we know got away from us that we couldn't catch. And there are many more that we didn't see that we can't count as getaways because we didn't see them or have any evidence of it. These are just the getaways they are aware of. Think about that. It could be another 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 getaways a month. And then more than half the people that turn themselves in get let into the country. We're looking at a complete change in the demographics of a lot of the cities, a lot of the voting blocks in this country. This is a revolution. This is a takeover. We're letting an army of illegal immigrants, they call them. They're illegal aliens is the correct term. And just the other day, there was a deal on the TV where they caught in just a matter of days almost a dozen people, rapists, murderers, people that were convicted of murder and rape and mayhem. And they said, well, these were just on what we found in a few days and the ones that we caught. Imagine in that 2,000 a day that getaways, how many other really deplorable drug dealers and rapists and murderers got through. And then there were the ones that we don't even know anything about, but we know others snuck through because we have 200 miles or more of border that's totally unprotected because there's no one left to man it. We don't know what's going on.
Okay. We're coming up to a break. Yeah, we're coming up to a break here, and when we get back, I was going to read you some quotes from Lenin and Lunacharsky. So, but well, quickly I can. The strictest loyalty to the ideas of communism must be combined with the ability to make necessary practical compromise, to maneuver, to make agreements, to zig, to zag, to retreat, and so on, to accelerate the coming of the power. We're coming up to a break. After the break, I'll read a couple more. This is exactly the philosophy of the Democratic Communist Party here in America today. Be right back after this.
Fight the fight. Fight the lie. We are there. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.